Amen. Isn't it wonderful today to know that through it all, no matter what you're going through, that if Christ is in your life, it is well. Amen today. Let's put our hands together for our God as He is amazing and wonderful. Thank you, Praise Man, for leading us. Thank you, volunteers, for helping this morning. My name is Kenny Rager. I'm the pastor here at Life Community Church, and it's a pleasure to have you here with us. Some of you all are here for the first time, and we welcome you. We would want to make sure that everybody filled out their connection card. And also in that program, you'll see our sermon notes. So go ahead and get those out as we get ready to begin today. I do want to say there is the finest looking track team in all of Owensboro that has come out to visit us today at the KWC track team. Thankful for them. Got to feed them a couple of weeks ago. It looks like they survived, so that's good. And we're glad to have you guys. Welcome today. It's our honor to have you here with us today. We pray a great season over you guys. Last week, we began to talk about updating our statuses, that everybody here is in need of some sort of status update. Spiritually, we all need to be at the next level. Spiritually, we need God to take us to where we need to be. So similar as we may update silly stuff on Facebook, the reality is all of us need some sort of life change. All of us need something at life change. And I know you believe that because I drive by Planet Fitness and like all of Owensboro is there, you know? And me and Terry, you know, we feel so guilty because all of you all are joining Planet Fitness and we're going to eat at like the Mexican restaurant, you know? More power to you, all right? So, but all of us are in need of some sort of life change, some sort of status change. And sometimes those changes occur because there are people in our life that have helped us make those changes. There are people in our life that have introduced us to Jesus and have introduced us, that maybe brought us to church or maybe told us about Jesus, or there was somebody who cared enough for us to want to see life change inside of us. Now, for me, there's been a lot of people that's done that for me in my life, a whole lot of people, my parents, my grandparents, my wife was a positive influence on my life. Just ask her what my college days was like. She'll tell you I cleaned up well, you know. I cleaned up, literally cleaned up, like dishes and laundry and stuff like that. I literally cleaned up well. My children have been a positive influence on my life. Now, the reality is we are always constantly impacting somebody. We're constantly having a touch on somebody or making a difference in somebody for either the better or the worse. Now, one of my dearest friends in the whole world, his name is Shay Allen, planting a church up in Sellersburg, Indiana, which is north of Louisville. Here in just a few weeks, his church, which is a church plant that just started. It's very similar to ours, but not quite there where we are in numbers and just beginning out early in the game. They're going to be doing this really cool special needs prom, and we have an opportunity for anybody that wants to go and help him out. It's going to be in a couple weeks. You can sign up back there, and we're just going to go help that little church plant do something cool. So we're pretty excited about that. It seems like God's opening up more and more doors in our church to minister to those with special needs. We have a group now that is going to the Wendell Foster Center to do ministry. So I'm excited about that and all that God is doing. Whatever reason, He's opening up that door for us to minister to. And that's pretty amazing. But my buddy Shay has had a great impact on my life. And he was the one that I can honestly say maybe have one of the most worst negative impacts on me as well. He was the first person that I met in college, the very first person I met in college. And he introduced me to a place that all the college kids hung out at. It was called Bell Bakery in Campbellsville, Kentucky. And Bell Bakery was a midnight donut place. Shay was the first person to turn me on to donut holes at 12:30 in the morning. Now, can I tell you what 12:30 in the morning donuts do to you every night in college? This is what it does to you. I've never been able to shake it. So here's what I can tell you. You are always constantly having an impact on people. Now, I want to be a positive impact. Anybody else want to be a positive impact on other people in our lives? I hope and pray that you do. And you know, the reality is I pray that my life, somehow through my ministry, God can use that, my personality, God can use that. Even the people that I live next to or that I see on a regular basis, that God could use me, I pray, in some way to make a positive impact. Now, we know that there really is no positive impact outside of who? Jesus Christ. That if Jesus is who we're leading people to and bringing people to, that'll be the best life change, the best status update they'll ever have. The reality is, yes, you may have a social network that you're part of. You still have a real life network that you're part of as well. And people in your real life network are depending on you to be a catalyst for change for them. I have a little graph, a little chart that I want Brett to throw up here. It's a little circular thing here, okay? Here it is. If you kind of think of where you are in life, all of us are surrounded by different groups of people that come at different stages of our life. For example, the closest to you right now are maybe people that you would say are your immediate family, your best friends, people that are closest to you. Do you have anybody in your life that's close to you? Raise your hand. You know anybody in your life that you would say is part of your immediate family, your best friend? You know, if you were to move out from there, your network gets a little bit bigger. And from there, you have maybe general friends or extended family. You don't see them all the time. You're not spending all the time in the world with them, but you know them. You know, some of you all in this room are maybe not intimately connected or family or best friends, but you know what? You're in that other realm of you generally know them. You know who they are. You say hi to them. You greet them, etc. And the next realm is what we would maybe say are our acquaintances, our coworkers, people that we work with. We know their names. We know who they are, but you really only see them when you go to work. And they're your work buddy, but really nothing outside of that. And then you've got the complete strangers that you're in contact with. These are people that are at Walmart. These are people where you get your gas station at. You know them, but you may not know their name. You may not know a thing about them, but you know them. So if you just begin to think about life kind of in circles like this, that's your network. Real quick, can you see names and faces that pop up when you begin thinking about that? Nod your head if you can. See, that's your real life network. Those that you're closely connected to, generally connected to, those that you're connected to by through acquaintances, and those that you just kind of randomly run into. So when I talk about having a positive impact on people through Jesus, I want you today not to think in vague terms. I don't want you to think of this hypothetical, theoretical stuff. I want you to think of real life people that you move through every day in your life. Now just keep that up there for a second. One thing I know about everybody's network is completely different. Because of who I am, I have my network takes certain shapes and sizes and pictures and people and stuff like that. Likewise, yours does too. Yours looks completely different from mine. Completely different. Everybody here has a completely different network that they're connected to. But with that being said, all of us have something in common. Every one of our networks that we have something in common. And that is that the Bible says what we have in common. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you know what that means? Everybody that we're connected to has the same basic spiritual need. That they need a close relationship with Jesus Christ. So regardless of if Uncle Bob's in your network and Aunt Sally's in your network, you know what the similarity is? Uncle Bob needs Jesus, and what? Aunt Sally needs Jesus. So as we think about our networks and where God has placed us and put us in our social spheres, God has you there for a reason. Now, people talk to me all the time. They say, Kenny, I just wish I knew my calling. I wish I knew my purpose. Am I supposed to be a missionary to Africa? Am I supposed to, like, you know, translate Bibles into some language? And I simply say, where has God put you? Where has the Lord planted you at? Because if you can begin to identify where he's planted you at, you know what happens? Work takes on purpose. Where you go to grocery store to buy your groceries takes on purpose. Where you send your kids to school takes on purpose because you now have a network that you can introduce to Jesus Christ. God has placed you in that sphere to be a positive change, to help people come to know Jesus Christ. Now, you got a loved one? Anybody got anybody you love in those networks? Raise your hand. Anybody you love? Anybody that you love in those networks that you see right now are not making a good decision, that's doing something detrimental, that's doing something not good, and you are genuinely concerned about them? Yeah, I think all of us are there. See, we all have people in our network that are hurting today, that are hurting, and they need help. And we have prayed and prayed and prayed that God would change that person, that God would help that person we're connected to, that God would do something to rescue somebody in one of those circles and help them. This is what I want to teach you today. As hopeless as it may seem, as hard as it may seem, Jesus can change my network. Do you believe that today, church? Why don't we say that together? You ready? Jesus can change my network. He can change it. The Lord Jesus Christ, through all the people you're connected to, He can change those people. Now, you ready for the crazy part? You ready for the part why I showed you who your network is and that sort of thing? You know why I did that? You know why I did that? Because guess who God wants to use to change your network? Everybody take one thumb, stick it up. Take the other thumb, stick it up. Point it this way. Guess what? He wants to use you to change those you're connected to. Do you believe that today, church? He wants to use you. Now, there's a great story in the Bible about how Jesus changes a whole network of people. And I love it, man. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Some of y'all are thinking, Kenny, every story you tell us is one of your favorites. I know, it's awesome. The whole book is amazing. I love it. But I want to read you out of the Gospel of Mark. You ready? Jesus already called four of his homeboys, four of his guys to walk with him. Two sets of brothers. And the story goes on. He begins to teach more. The Bible says, then Jesus went out again. Mark chapter 2, verse 13. Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd was coming to him, and he taught them. Then moving on, he saw Levi. Now, another name for this guy Levi, as you might know what his name is, his name is also called Matthew. Okay, so Levi and Matthew is the same guy, all right? Moving on, he saw Levi, or Matthew, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to Matthew, or Levi, follow me. So he got up and followed Jesus. While he was reclining at the table in Levi or Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also guests with Jesus and his disciples, because there were many who were following him. When the scribes of the Pharisees, who were the religious folk, these were the church people, these were the snobs, these were the ones that yelled at everybody because they weren't religious enough, okay? When the jerks, or the Pharisees, saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors? And can't you just hear them say this? And what? Sinners. When Jesus heard this, he told them, those who are well don't need a doctor, but the sick do need one. Don't you love this, church? I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. That's who Jesus is after, the sinners. And I love it. We see in this wonderful story of Matthew being called, and Matthew gets connected to Jesus, and then he gets other people connected to Jesus. And I think you see a wonderful story of how God changes the network. Let's talk about your people for a second. I want to teach you three things. First, this: my network changes when I follow Jesus. Now keep that in mind. Those that you're around begin to experience life change when you first have what? Life change. Notice in verse 14. Then moving on, he saw Levi again. Matthew is another name for him. The son of Alphaeus sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. And so Matthew got up and followed him. Now, Matthew was a tax collector. Now, you may not think much about that, but in that day and age, tax people weren't liked too often. They weren't liked too much. Now, I know that's hard to believe that somebody could not like the IRS. But believe it or not, they didn't like tax people. And Matthew was a Jew. And he was a Jew who was working for Rome, who occupied that country. So when you signed up for the job to be tax collector, guess what? Your fellow Jewish brothers and sisters view you as a what? A national traitor. You're working against your own people for the people that's enslaving us. So real quick, if you have the profession of collecting taxes and being a traitor, do you think you have very many friends? No? Well, at least not the church friends. See, when Matthew was called by God, and by the way, Matthew means the gift of God is what it means. He calls himself Matthew in the gospel he wrote, the Gospel of Matthew, because more than likely, he's so humbled by the fact that Jesus would call somebody who was a tax collector and a sinner to follow him that it was nothing short of a gift. So that's probably why he calls himself Matthew, is that he felt like he got the best gift in the world. Isn't that cool? But Levi, or Matthew, gets called by the Lord, and Jesus wants to save. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you this. Tax collectors in that time period, one, weren't really under a whole lot of supervision. They just knew that they had to pay their commanding officers a certain amount, but they didn't care how much they charged. So guess what? A tax collector would normally come to you, and guess what he would do to you? He would overcharge you. So you have this reputation of being somebody that is a crook, that's immoral. And by the way, remember I told you the religious people didn't like the tax collectors? Well, that's true, which meant that they weren't welcome to the church potlucks, and they weren't welcome to the church outings. They didn't get invited to youth camp. So when it came time for social outings, guess who accepted the tax collectors? Other tax collectors. And those that would commit grievous sins. So when a tax collector got together with his buddies, it was like an IRS convention in Las Vegas. That's what it was like. They were dirty. They were rotten. They cussed. They chewed. And they ran around with girls who do as well. That's what they did. They were a rough bunch. Rough bunch. These guys were ugly. And you think, well, Kenny, why would Jesus take a guy like Matthew and want him to be on the A-team? Why? Because here's why. You ready? Yeah, the circle's part of it. But here's why. You ready? Because no matter where you've been or what you've done, Jesus Christ loves you today. Jesus loves sinners. I want you to know today that before you can ever begin to impact your network for positive change, you have to first be changed. Before Matthew could ever impact his circle and change those he was connected to, he had to be personally changed himself. You know, it's not uncommon in church life to see people begin coming to church for their children. They want their kids to be in Bible school. They want their kids to be in kids' church. They want to, even if they don't have a faith or a foundation in the faith, somehow they want their children to have faith. And that's not strange, because we all want our kids to have better than what we did. And it's a positive environment to learn, so we take our kids to church. But here's the reality. Taking your kids to church is the starting point, and that's wonderful. That's great. That's wonderful. But what your kids need more than anything else is not just for you to take them to church. Are you ready? But for you to experience Jesus Christ personally. And when they get a Christian mama or a Christian daddy or a Christian grandpa or a Christian grandfather, you know what will happen? They will be changed because they're walking around somebody who loves Jesus. So what I'm telling you is this, is that if you desire for your loved ones to go to heaven, that to encounter Jesus, the change has to start with you. He's calling you to follow him. He's calling you to believe that he died on the cross for your sins, that he suffered and bled and 3 days later rose again. That if we admit we're sinners and we believe Jesus died and we choose to follow him and we allow Christ to make that difference in our life, then we can be saved. And today, I'm telling you, when you see somebody as part of a corrupt network and somebody accepts Jesus in that chain, oh my goodness, does it disrupt it. It makes all the difference. When Matthew gets saved and he follows Jesus, you know what he does? He doesn't get them all to come to church. He doesn't say, let's have a Bible study. He does the only thing he knows how to do. Are you ready? He throws an IRS Las Vegas convention party. That was a party. You mean Matthew didn't just take them to the synagogue? No, they weren't welcomed. They weren't welcomed. That was a party. In Luke's gospel, it says that he had a great banquet. And they invited Jesus. I want you to see this. My network changes. You ready? When I arrange a meeting for them or my network to meet Jesus. When I arrange a meeting that Jesus just so happens to be at, that's how my network begins to change. So check it out. While he was reclining at the table in Levi's house, that's Jesus. With who? With the church folk? No, with who? Other tax collectors and what? Sinners. By the way, most theologians would believe these were rough people. Rough people. Sinners were also his guest with Jesus and his disciples because there were many who were following him. Now, can you imagine like Peter, James, John, and Andrew? They probably grew up pretty decent lives. They're like 2 weeks off the boat. Literally from fishing. And now they're hanging out in this crowd. And Jesus, their new rabbi, is sitting at this table. And they're in a room with some very, very questionable people. Can you just imagine John looking over to James saying, what are we doing? Why are we here? But look what Matthew does. He begins to tap into his circles. And he begins to invite them to Jesus. He had been changed. And he had a party. It's all he knew how to do. He had a party. A great banquet. And he invited them and Jesus. And are you ready for the craziest thing? Jesus came. Are you catching that? He threw a party with sinners and Jesus came. Well, your Jesus is a stick in the mud. Not the one in the Bible. Not the one in the Bible. He comes. They have a party. And Jesus is intermingling with the sinners. This is scandalous. This is insane. What is Jesus thinking? And you ready? Here's what he's thinking. I love Matthew, and I love Matthew's network. And I'm praying, Matthew would say, I'm praying, Jesus, can you change them like you changed me? He arranges a meeting. Evangelism. That's a word some of you all know, but if you don't keep your head in a church book all the time, you may not know what that word means. Evangelism means just spreading the good news of Jesus, just telling other people about Jesus. And when we think about evangelism, we're sharing the gospel. Outreach team, wherever you are, pay attention to what I'm getting ready to say. This is very applicable to you. When you think of evangelism, we often think that means that you've got to go knock on somebody's door, cold turkey. They come and their kids are screaming. It's right in the middle of supper. It's dark because it's winter time, and you say, I'm here to tell you about Jesus, and they just slam the door in your face, right? Because they don't know you, have no connection. Or you think of somebody who's an evangelist, like a TV guy who's harping for money. Or you think about a dude on the side of the street with a bullhorn yelling. Well, listen, God can use all methods. He can use all methods, but evangelism is simply the sharing of good news. That's what it is. It's just telling people about Jesus. That's all it is. And what I see oftentimes with evangelism is that we make it much, much harder than what it should really be. We make it so much more difficult than what it should be. And I think the best way to learn how to tell somebody about Jesus is to learn what Matthew did. I think you just go to Matthew. And I think you just learn what this guy did. Write this down. If it's not in your notes, but just write it down. Three ways, quickly. It's not in the screen, just write it down. Three ways that you can evangelize or reach people. You ready? You pray for them. That's the first thing. You start praying for them. You pray for them. Second thing, you ready? Invite them to church with you. Invite them to church. Did you know the largest percentage of people that come to know faith in the Lord Jesus Christ come through an invitation through church? Just heard that just this week. Getting them to come to church with you. It's amazing. They'll come. Invite them to church with you. But the third thing, which is maybe the most important thing is this. Start a spiritual conversation with them. So in a nutshell, this is what this means. You start praying for somebody. Say, hey, would you come to church with me? Sure. They come to church with you, and you say, hey, you want to go eat Salsaritas with me? Kids eat free. They say, sure. So you go to Salsaritas with them after church. And you know what you do? You begin to talk to them. What'd you think about today? Did it speak to you? Where are you at spiritually? What are you dealing with? What are you wrestling with? What's your views on Jesus? Can we just talk about it? You know what you've done? You have arranged a meeting with you, that other person, and who else? Jesus Christ. The next thing you know, you may be leading somebody to Jesus at a Salsaritas table, or a Real Hacienda table, or a Papa Grande's table, or an El Ranchito table. Jesus can do great things, amen. He can do great things. God can do it. That's the next thing you'll see. And you begin to reach out and connect. Hey, by the way, Jesus wants you to bring them. Somebody may argue with me, and they may say, Kenny, what happens if everybody in my network knows Jesus? Then, I don't know, Brett, if you can or not. Go back to the circle, if you can. I don't know. If it's too hard, don't worry about it, but if you can. What if everybody in my first circle knows Jesus? What if they already know Christ? You ready? Guess what you do? You move what? To the next circle. What if everybody in that circle knows Jesus? Guess what you do? You move to the next one. And guess what? If everybody in that circle knows Jesus, what do? You move to the next one. And then you say, well, everybody I come in contact with is a Christian. Then one of three things. Are you ready? Number one, you are a complete idiot. Amen? That's the first thing. No, they're not. They're not all Christians. You are a complete idiot. Number two, are you ready? You ready? Maybe you need to get out and live a little bit. You know what I mean? Maybe you need to make friends, all right? Maybe you need to go to the grocery store or to Walmart. Or the third part, you say, everybody I come in contact with. I'm like the walking Billy Graham. I just walk by them and they get saved. Well, you ready? Are you ready? You ready? Then God is calling you to go to Iran and be a missionary. He is. So here's the deal. You ready? Reach into your circles. Amen, church. And just arrange a meeting. Arrange a meeting. You don't got to take your Bible and shove it in their face and say, repent. At least buy them a cup of coffee before you do that. You know, just go and love on them and try to talk about, yes, absolutely. Do not, I'm trying to be a little funny, but do not misunderstand me. Yes, the Word of God is part of it. Yes, we walk them through the Roman road. Yes, we use Scripture. Y'all are with me on that. But here's the deal. It's just being in an environment where Jesus can show up. Being in an environment where Jesus can show up. Now, here's the third thing. You ready? My network changes when I arrange a meeting with Jesus, yes. But now here's what happens. My network changes when they follow Jesus. But be prepared for criticism. The story goes on. When the scribes and the Pharisees, the church folk, show up, and they saw that he was eating with the tax collectors and the sinners, they asked his disciples, isn't that funny? People that complain never go to somebody. They always go to somebody else. And they go to the disciples. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And by the way, whenever you go to somebody else and complain, the person that you're complaining about always hears. And Jesus said, what? He heard it and he told them, those who are well don't need a doctor, but the sick do need one. I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Isn't that wonderful today? That Jesus, when they started griping and complaining, and Jesus heard it, all at that table, all those, you just imagine, prostitutes, cheats, tax collectors, drunkards at that table, and the Pharisees show up, and they're just harping, I can't believe you're eating with these people. And Jesus said, I've not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call the sinners. And by the way, can't you just see, hear in Jesus' voice, I didn't come to call the righteous like you guys, because surely you're not sinners. But I've come to call the sinners. I know that when you begin to really reach out in your network, criticism will come. Now, here's the sad part. Sometimes criticism will come from the people you're evangelizing, okay? It will come through people in your network, through relatives that don't like what you're saying, people that reject the message. That is true. And I'm not trying to soften that at all. I mean, the disciples lost their lives because they evangelized, okay? Criticism happens. But sometimes when we begin to really reach out to people, church folk are the ones that criticize. They really do. It was the religious people that were upset, not the other tax collectors and sinners. It was the religious people. When we set out to plant Life Community Church, we wanted this church to be a place that did not compromise on the Bible, that we would preach the Bible. We would never compromise on the doctrines of the Bible. We would never do that. We would never compromise on lifestyle issues and things like that. But here's what we want it to do. We wanted this church to be a place where the tax collectors and the sinners were welcomed. And we wanted them to come and hear about Jesus. I've gotten so used to preaching in jeans and an untucked shirt. Every time now I go into a revival and I put on a necktie, I feel like I'm suffocating, you know. I feel that way. But believe it or not, it took me a while to get there. My previous church, I used to dress up a little bit more. But we knew getting into this that we wanted to reach those that were far from God. We didn't want a necktie or suit pants to be a problem. We wanted people just to come. And you know what? If they came in flip-flops and shorts, I don't care. As long as they come. As long as they come to know Jesus. It doesn't matter. And by the way, some of y'all got some gnarly toes, man. I see them in the summertime, okay? You got them. But here's the deal. As we do this type of ministry, as we do this type of ministry at Life Community, not everybody in our own community will like this. When you start reaching the lost and you start reaching people that don't know Jesus, you'll start hearing the church folks say weird stuff. For example, they'll say stuff like, man, your church is full of a bunch of drunks. Or you'll hear people say, well, you know, you all should really be reaching more Christians. By the way, the Bible does not call us to reach Christians. The Bible calls us to reach the lost. And Nathan, you might like this one. They'll say, well, why don't you guys play in the church softball league? It's good Christian fellowship. That's the biggest lie ever. They're the meanest bunch of snakes in the world, man. The lost people, man, you expect it out of them, and they're as nice as can be. Probably because they're beating the fire out of us, but at the same time, they'll say this stuff. And you know what? The temptation is to be like everybody else, ain't it? But that's not who we're after. Man, listen, college kids, y'all welcome anytime. Dress down the next time. It's okay. We want to reach people for the gospel. One thing that I heard one time, doesn't matter who it was or who they were talking about. Somebody visited our church and had no idea that they had a mutual friend with me. And they were talking about church. And they said, you know, we visited that life community. I said, oh, yeah? They said, yeah. We'll never go back. And my mutual friend said, well, why? The person sitting two rows in front of me is a drunk. I could smell liquor on them that day. And my friend told me. And two things came to my mind. You ready? Number one, we're doing exactly what God's calling us to do. And number two was this, don't let the door hit you on your way out. That's the truth. That's the truth. Because we want the tax collectors and the sinners. And by the way, the tax collectors make really good disciples who write the Bible. Never forget that. All I'm saying is this, I've preached way, way too long, but I get excited when I talk about this. Don't listen to criticism. Apply it like this. Just get really close to Jesus when you're evangelizing. Just get so close to Christ. Because when you're close to Jesus, it doesn't matter what other people say. It just matters what your Savior says. Listen to the voice of Jesus, the tender heart of Jesus. Listen, when you do stuff as a church, don't just invite church people. Invite the lost. Intermingle them. When you do your life group outing, you know, don't just barbecue at your house. Go to the bowling alley and invite. Pay for somebody's game when you bowl with them. Amen. Pay for somebody's game that you don't even know. Just pick a lane and say, man, we're going to bless you. Why? Because we're a bunch of Christians that love Jesus and also like to bowl. See, knowing Christ, knowing Jesus makes all the difference. It changes everything. Now, I told you about your network, praying, and I want to ask you one last question. Who is in my network? Who's in your Matthew party? Who do you know that doesn't need Jesus? On your sermon notes, I did something kind of weird today, didn't I? I put a Facebook friend list. But I'm not talking about Facebook people. And by the way, it's good to invite people to church through Facebook and all that stuff. I get that. That's good. But a face-to-face is always 100% more better. Always 100% more better. Text message is fun, but the Matthew party, arranging a meeting, right, is always better. I've listed four blanks, and I just want you to think in your network. We've done this multiple times at Life Community, and we'll probably keep doing it every year because it just speaks to us. We need to put real names to real people. Amen. Take your pen. Go do it now. Write it on it. Four people you know today that needs a meeting with Jesus. Four people that you know today that needs Jesus. A loved one, a friend, a neighbor. And this is what I want to leave you with. When we tell them about the risen Jesus, that Christ is our hope, we must believe there's hope for our loved ones. We must believe there's hope for our loved ones, that they can be saved, that God can rescue them, and God can do good stuff in their life. But maybe today God's just wanting to use you and arrange a meeting with Jesus. If you would, I want you to bow your head and close your eyes this morning. I went way too long, but I'm passionate about this subject. With heads bowed and eyes closed today, I want you to think about when you first gave your life to Jesus. Do you remember that? Were you 7 years old, 10 years old, 20, 40, 50? Who was it that made that invitation to church, to you, or told you about Christ? Who was that Matthew in your life? Maybe today you would say, Kenny, I've never given my life to Jesus, but I would like today to ask Christ to come into my life. Can I do that? Most certainly you can. The Bible says if you admit that you're a sinner, believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and you choose to follow Him, you can be saved. If you would like to do that right now, to ask Christ into your heart, I'd like to pray with you. You just pray this with me. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I know that I need Jesus. I believe He died, and He came back to life. Come into my life and save me. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, if you did that today and Christ came in your life, I want you to tell somebody, write on the back of your card, come forward and tell me, but just make that public today. Many of you all wrote in your network names of people that need Jesus. These are people that you need to reach out to personally, that you are held accountable to reach out to. This is your network. And today I want to challenge you to come forward and to commit to praying for that network, to commit to inviting them to Jesus, and to commit to arranging a Matthew party with them, a conversation. So, Father, we thank You for Christ. Lord, speak to us and help us to share the gospel. Help us, Lord, to be the only Jesus that somebody might ever see. We pray this in Your name. Amen. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. This is what we call our response time when we pray. Some people may want to come forward and pray, and they're welcome to do that. Some may want to come talk to one of our deacons on the side or to myself for some counseling. But as we sing, won't we come today and pray for those in our network?